1 Timothy chapter 5, you can go there. Now, understand that the word elder, presbyteros, means older person, mature person, wise person. And it's also the word that is used for overseer. Timothy was an overseer. He was younger than everybody. Okay? So there is not a requirement of age. Everybody, because I've had somebody say, well, all the older men in the church are elders. No, they're elder in their age, but it doesn't mean, and they should be elder in their maturity and wisdom and spirit, scripture. But there's also the office of elder. Just like there's this, everybody's a deacon, diakonos, doulos. Everybody's a slave, a servant to one another, but there is the office of servant and slave as well. And so there's different roles there. Paul is telling Timothy this, as well as he does Titus and some others, so that they can put into order the churches of their region by appointing elders so that the church can be governed according to the way God has commanded it. But what happens when you have an elder who has gone cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs? Verse 1 of chapter 5, we'll just read this. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. And I'm not going to go any further in that. I just wanted you to hear that. Because there is the relationship that we have inside the church. When we see Paul teaching to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says what? Have patience with everybody. And he tells Timothy, endure suffering, endure false teaching with much patience. Be kind and gentle, respectful. He also talks about to admonish the idle, strengthen the weak, things of that nature. So that when we are working together, even for people who are just flat out wrong, we're patient, we're gentle, we're seasoned with grace. We have saltiness in our words. Never should there be a time where I beat this pulpit or come up and shake somebody or verbally cause them to feel fearful when they're being corrected. The fear would come from them being fearful of God through church discipline. Okay? What happens when the pastors do this? Verse 17, chapter 5. Let the elders who rule be considered, rule well, be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. So that shows us that there is other areas, though all elders must be able to teach, there are other roles that elders play. For the scripture says, you must not muzzle. Well, that's not what I'm. Do not, verse 19, here it is. Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, you see that? Persist in sin. What could the sin be? Could be that gambling thing I talked to you about. It could be sexual sin. It could be public sin whereby it's immediate disqualification and sometimes permanently. It could be doctrinal sin. It could be verbal typos. It could be whatever. But as for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. Of all what?
Fear of God.
Yeah, but what does it say? Who's all there? Rebuke them in the presence of all.
The church.
All right? Rebuke them in the presence of the church. In the presence of God, Christ Jesus, and the elect angels, I charge you to keep these rules without prejudging, doing nothing from partiality. And then he goes on to say, don't be hasty in laying on hands or nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. No longer drink water, but for the sake of your stomach, use a little wine for your ailments. I mean, can you imagine the garbage that he had to go through being an elder of elders, an elder of multiple congregations in first century Palestine, first century Ephesus, that's where Timothy was. I mean, they almost rioted because believing craftsmen weren't selling and buying idol worship memorabilia in Ephesus. They almost burned the whole city down and killed all the apostles. Imagine what it'd be like to be in charge of all that. Yeah, drink a little wine for your stomach. So back to the question. If a elder is in sin, there will be witnesses. And what is happening here is that Timothy, as an elder, brings the charges to the elder. That's what happens there. So, for example, I mean, as my brothers and sisters, you see a personal sin in my life. You see something that might, you know, we don't have to walk around like police officers going, "You got drugs in your pocket?" I mean, you know, do a search or all that kind of stuff. We're not supposed to be like that. When things are obvious, we don't need to be suspicious. But when things are obvious and we see them, we go, the best course of action on these things that aren't really serious. Now, you might say, well, what sin is not serious? I mean, no sin is not serious. For every sin of the elect, Christ had to die for, even if it was only one. He would have had to die for that one sin if it was just the sin of rolling your eyes because of a haughty spirit. But we know the difference in someone who has just a bad day or a bad moment or has a little bit of an issue with a personality that just is unbecoming versus someone who's in sin. There's a difference, y'all. There's a difference. Humility, a lack of humility in a pastor would be something. Being aggressive would be something. Not given to violence, not being a drunkard. You know the qualifications that we've already gotten. So when we see those things not happening as it's prescribed, you can just say something to an elder. Is everything okay? Why? Why would you say anything anyway? To catch him? No, to correct it. That's the point. We correct each other because if I'm watching you and we're having breakfast and you've got a big egg running down your face, some people don't say anything. Like, you know? I'm going like, "Hey, bro, you got egg." You know, if Trey's beard's real long, I'm sure there's many times that his wife has to go, "Honey, you've got like a hot dog in your beard." I mean, you know, "You got a hot dog in there. There's a bird too." I mean, we're okay to say something's in your teeth. It's okay to say, "I've noticed that you're off. Is everything okay?" Or, "I've noticed that you've had a sinful attitude about this. Can I pray for it?" We want to correct it. We don't want to catch him. "I got him now." All right. So that's the first thing, is to be sensitive to something that's just maybe a pet peeve of yours versus a true sin. And if you need to know, ask. If you need to know. If it's an issue of error, we have the scriptures and then we have a confession that we use to measure what we believe the scripture says on doctrinal things of grave importance. So if I begin to teach, like the sanctification issue, if I begin to teach that sanctification is an issue of perfection and required for salvation, you can go, "That's not what we believe, is it? I don't think." Then you can look in the confession, you can see it's not there. It actually says it's not possible to have perfection and permanence. But let's just say it did happen. And you notice it. You need to go to another elder. That's why it is unbiblical for a church to have one pastor. And I believe it's dangerous for a church to have two pastors because there's probably a good chance they're really close. But if you got three pastors or more, then you're pretty safe. Planting Grace Truth Church, we had five elders, counting myself. And none of them were in the body. We had to have five elders. And even one of my mentors said, "Son, you don't need that biblically." I said, "Yes, I do. You must be crazy. You don't know me. I have a mega church in Claxton if I'm not careful. I know me. I need that account. I need somebody to watch what I'm doing and go, 'Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is looking like a circus, not a church. Calm down now and straighten up.'" So when the charge comes, it comes to another elder. If you don't have another elder, you're in trouble. Because what happens if there's something in my life that you think's a sin and you stand up in a meeting and you say, "Pastor, I think you're in sin." Now everybody who's not seen it goes, "Oh, maybe he is." You see? Now the whole congregation is thinking there's some undercurrent of wickedness going on in the pastoral leaders. And so the witnesses, so in other words, if it's on me and somebody goes to Jesse or to Dave and says, "Man, Pastor Tim has just really had this," and all of a sudden somebody else comes, and then somebody else comes, they go, "Okay, that's two or more witnesses. We're going to go see James." And then James would either be held accountable for it and correct it, or be disqualified for a season or forever. And if it isn't corrected, then we what? We take it to the whole church. And that's immediate. It's immediate. There are some sins that Matthew 18 don't qualify for, and those sins that are public don't qualify for the Matthew 18 tenderness. If I lose my temper and kick over this music stand, I'm out. I'm out. For how long? Until you as a church deem that I've had enough humility for enough time to stand back up here. You see? That's how that works. But if there's some sins that are there, you bring the charge to the other elders, they bring it to the other elder, and the elder corrects it, and then the other elders can go back in private and report it to the ones who brought the charge. And then the ones who saw it can continue to look. And if it's serious enough, I think the man needs to step down. But what you don't do is what I think, I wrote about this last year, actually a year ago in March. I think that this preacher of mine's got something going on. Don't know what it is yet, but I'm going to find out. You know? And we go to Trey and we say, hey, Trey, you know, go to Josiah. Hey, Josiah, watch this preacher now. And next thing you know, I see it too, hot dog. And then we've what? We've gathered up false witnesses. We've gossiped. Murder, murder, murder. Liar, liar, liar. Pants on fire. I mean, you know, we're all just stirring division. That happens all the time. It happens. I mean, your father's a pastor. I'm sure he's had that happen to him. It happens all the time. To which we either stand there and take it patiently, or we stand there and stomp our feet and go, touch not thine anointed, you know, like we've hurt somebody, which I have yelled out in a church building before. 22 or so. I don't know how old I was. It was stupid. But that's what you do when you're not qualified and then you're given a church of a couple of thousand people to pastor because it's the right business move. But I think that that's what we have to understand is that we do not just accuse and we do not accuse continually. And not only should we not do that to an elder, we should not do that to each other. We should not do that to each other. I mean, there, what laundry list of sins could we all come up and confess today? You get the microphone? We would never go home. We'd all be sitting here in the same clothes Sunday morning. The rest of the congregation comes in. What y'all doing? We've been confessing sins since Wednesday. The kids are asleep. One of them just wet the floor. I mean, you know, it would never stop. And I'm not downplaying the severity of sinfulness. But what's more important is the reality of the gospel, the reality of grace. Knowing that we are indeed forgiven. And we have to be careful because charges against an elder can ruin the entire fellowship. It can ruin the entire fellowship. Charges against anybody heinously and erroneously can ruin the whole fellowship. But imagine if all of a sudden a seed was planted in the entire church against one of the elders of this church. How hard it would be. So that's how the scripture would answer that question. That's how it would work. And keep in mind, too, that what we believe is a sin and what the Bible teaches is a sin is not necessarily sinful. Some people think it's a sin not to wear a suit. Some people think it's a sin to drink a beer. Some people think it's a sin, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that it's a holistic list of things that you should and should not do. Some people think it's a sin to play anything that's not in the Trinity hymnal. You know? I've got friends like that. Some people think it's a sin because I use this version of the Bible. It's wicked. They don't want their kids to hear it. And okay, but it's not something to divide the church over. It's not something like that. But anyway, any other thoughts, questions? It's 8 after. It's been an hour or better.